Hi, everybody. Thank you for being a part of Retail Online Integration's inaugural webinar week titled Christmas in July, Preparing for the Holiday Season. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's live webinar. This session is called Preparing Your Email Marketing Strategy for the Holidays. Before we get going, however, I'd like to take a second to thank our sponsor, Bronto Software, a company that provides solutions for retailers and other commerce-focused companies to drive revenue through targeted email and cross-channel marketing. Please stay tuned at the end of the hour for a special freebie from Bronto Software put together just for webinar attendees. So back to the webinar. Though the holidays seem far away, many leading retailers have already started their email marketing holiday planning. Whether your planning has kicked off or you haven't even started, today, you're going to be listening in to this educational and entertaining webinar with leading email marketing expert Reggie Brady to learn the top email marketing tips for the 2012 holidays. During the webinar, attendees will learn when does the season really kick off, hint earlier than you think, the right way to increase frequency, the ways to balance offers such as free shipping with product promotion, the power of customer reviews and how to leverage them across channels, and five techniques to increase sales. For those of you that are new to our live webinars, let me point out a few quick tips about how to make the most of your experience today. First, if you have any technical difficulties, please troubleshoot by clicking on the help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's speaker. We'll be addressing select ones at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets and bells and whistles on the console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Well, without further ado, to discuss email marketing strategies for the holidays, I'd like to welcome Reggie Brady.
Thank you very much, Melissa. It's about 85 or 86 degrees out right now, and it's at least where I am. So it doesn't feel like we should be talking about the holidays, but let's jump right into the agenda. The first thing I want to talk about is some pre-planning that really has nothing to do with the holidays themselves, but things that you should be thinking about and putting in place so that you really can make the most of the season. Then we'll talk about frequency. Because most marketers will step up their frequency during this important gift-giving season. Then we'll look at a whole series of promotions, and I hope it'll spur some ideas for you that will boost sales. And then we'll close with a few additional thoughts. So with that, let's just jump into things. And marketers today have more channels than ever to send out promotions, but email remains the linchpin of an integrated digital marketing program. And holidays provide huge revenue opportunities. So this chart is a comparison of transaction rates for holiday emails versus regular mailings that were sent out during the year. And you can see that transaction rates are much higher. So email is a great way to engage with your customers. And notice that Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Thanksgiving appear on this chart, which are certainly days that you need to think about. So holiday-related emails before and on the celebrated dates are a wonderful way to engage your subscribers. At a minimum, you must start mailing on Thanksgiving. As you can see, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are key shopping dates. You have to capitalize on these times when people are really in a shopping and a buying mode. And you might also think about slow buildup to the holiday season. I remember going into some retail stores last October, and they already had Christmas decorations up. So some retailers and e-tailers start early. Some of your email subscribers may be early planners. So capitalize on this and think about starting in mid to late October. At least maybe not stepping up your frequency at that point, but slowly revving up for the holiday season. So now I want to talk about some pre-planning ideas, things, again, that you can put in place now so that you're poised for success. And I don't have a slide on this, but one of the first things you should do is revisit your email programs from the 2011 holiday season. Take a real hard look at your results and the creative offers that you put together. Try and figure out what worked and what didn't, because this should help give you a good start and a good foundation for the holidays. And a leg up, too, if you can reuse some of and recycle some of your content. But there are other things that you should be working on now. Anything that you can do to improve your email's performance will pay benefits for the rest of the year and poise you for success during the holidays. So first, look at your inactives. If you can re-engage them, you'll have more subscribers interacting with your emails. Excuse me. One good way to start is to get them to update their preferences. Just that simple touch may reactivate and re-engage them. Next, take a look at your email templates and make sure that they're mobile-friendly. Over 30% of emails are read on mobile devices now, and reports show that opens and clicks are not as strong on mobile. So you need to do everything that you can to improve that experience. Now let's look at one example in terms of pre-planning ideas for mobile. Here's an Office Depot email. I make the point that the email is narrow, which is difficult to tell on this slide, but it's much narrower than many of the emails that I would see in my inbox. They also use a snippet or a marketing message at the very top, and right under that are two links, view on a mobile device and view as web page. And also the main image is on the right, so if somebody is having a problem on mobile with display, they're at least able to see when the sale starts. Some more pre-planning ideas. Well, reviews are altering how consumers make purchase decisions. And reviews, if you have them on your website, will absolutely increase conversions. For example, Dell reported that if a shopper spent time with site reviews, conversions for them doubled. And you'll get more site traffic since the search engines have more to categorize. Plus, page views increase and customers say that they feel more satisfied with their shopping experience when it includes customer reviews. And the last point I want to make is, and I know this from my own experience, online shoppers are often willing to spend more for highly rated products. I know that I've gone into various sites and had a price point in mind, and then I start reading the reviews, and all of a sudden I fixate on a five-star product review, and I wind up increasing, sometimes somewhat dramatically, how much I'm willing to spend. I also want to say that implementing reviews does not have to break the bank or stretch your budget. There are companies such as Power Reviews that are really relatively inexpensive. One example that I saw with a small marketer was that they were paying $80 per month with Power Reviews. So that's certainly a reasonable expense. And the last thing I want to say is give your site the grandma and grandpa test. Get your grandparents or older individuals and give them a task, like search for a particular item on your site and then purchase it. Then you need to sit back and don't help them. See if they can easily accomplish the task. You may find some kinks that you were otherwise not aware of. Take a look at your segmentation strategy. You don't want to do this when you're in the midst of the holidays, but one extremely important segment are your prior buyers. Make sure to come up with a strategy to address them. And some companies dress up their sites and spruce up their logos. So you can see a couple examples here from FootSmart, Wine Enthusiast, and Home Depot. That may not work for you, but I thought it was just an interesting holiday technique. And if you don't have an abandoned cart program, make sure that you put one in place now. Different sources peg cart abandonment between 71 and 75%. That's a lot of abandoned shopping carts. And without an abandoned shopping cart email program, it means that you're going to miss a lot of sales. with such a program, you can recapture between 5 and 15% of sales that otherwise would be lost. This particular email example is from Sports Authority. Now, it doesn't picture the item that was left in the shopping cart, but the company does sweeten the deal with hurry back and receive an extra 10% off your order. So there's one example of an abandoned cart email. I want to talk about some of the factors that you might consider. First of all, timing. When would you send your first abandoned cart email? Well, studies show that you should really send it within the first few hours. I like the idea of using about 3 hours later. The next is, should you picture the product? Now, the Sports Authority email that we looked at did not, but studies have shown that if including an image of the product left in the cart will improve conversions. So if possible, integrate your email with your site and make sure that that's something that you do. Should you send a series or just one off? Well, sending more than one effort certainly works. I know companies that will send 5, 6, and even 7 abandoned cart programs, and each one of them still provides opens, good click-throughs, and conversions. In terms of offers, I think that you really shouldn't immediately sweeten the deal. Don't give them a big discount at the outset. If you send a series, your first two emails might not include an offer. Then you can introduce an inducement such as free shipping or a discount after that. And by the way, some e-tailers will also examine whether a cart has been abandoned recently by an individual. And they will suppress offers to that particular group because they don't want to train customers to always abandon carts in order to get a better deal. And last, subject lines, address the issue automatically. So, for example, Tom, just a reminder, you still have items in your shopping cart. I'm going to close this particular section with just two examples of abandoned cart emails. The first one is from Vintage Tub and Bath, and it shows the item that was left in the cart. And I really like the fact that they included a customer review, and of course it was a 5-star review, in the email. It's a great way to nudge the shopper to make a purchase decision. And here's an example from Pottery Barn. They're showing the drapes that that individual had left in the shopping cart. So we're finished with the pre-planning, and let's talk about stepping up your frequency. As all of you know, the holidays are a make-it-or-break-it time, and you want to make the most of it. So this is the time to take a calculated risk and step up your frequency. One big risk is that you'll get more opt-outs, but on the flip side, you'll also get higher sales. So it's a trade-off and one that's worth taking. One thought, if you're going to step up your frequency, is to minimize your risk by treating your inactives differently. Stick to your normal schedule with them. That also should improve your deliverability, and it should also affect your inbox placement with many of the ISPs. So here's an example of what not to do. One particular gift retailer sent 125 emails between November 1st and December 27th. As I mentioned here, that's more than one a day. That's way too much. So frequency is good, but not that much. And one thought on how to do things right is to take a leaf out of the Zappos book. They send an email to their list at the beginning of the holidays, letting them know that Zappos will be sending 3 emails a week only during the holiday season. It reads, from now till the new year, we'll help you rock your holiday gift giving with 3 new emails a week every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You'll get tons of holiday hints, easy for me to say, for everyone on your gift list, including you. By the way, The lighter green section near the bottom is interesting. It shows Zappos family care values. Build open and honest relationships with communication, which is what they are doing with this particular email. So leaving frequency, let's look at promotions and promotions that will get your cash registers ringing. There are lots of workhorse promotions that you can employ during the holiday season. Giving discounts certainly works, but of course it erodes your margins. So try and mix things up. Although as marketers get further into the season, there does tend to be much more of an emphasis on discounts in motivating customers to buy. Here's a look at how 2011 fared. We're looking at email performance by offer type based on analysis by Experian Cheetahmail across their clients. You can see unique opens, clicks, transaction rates, revenue per email, and average order value for each type of offer. And here I've highlighted the offer types that garnered the highest activity in each of the categories. So dollars off, free gift were basically the winners here, but realize that there are many other offers that you can use, and you might be able to use this particular list as a starting point for your planning. It can be fun to come up with a themed series. When I looked at my emails from 2011, several merchants, I think about five, used the 12 days of Christmas theme. So Allen Brothers, who sells various gourmet meat products, sent different offers each day, and we'll look at two of them. So here's the first day of Christmas, and here's the second day of Christmas. I don't know about you, but I like gift guides. I'm always trying to think of the perfect gift for those on my list, and I like browsing specific categories. So as you can see from this email from Orvis, it focuses on gifts for men, but as you look further down in the email itself, you see that they have other gift-giving categories, including women, kids, pets, travelers, and more. Here's a Dell email that features a gift guide with find the perfect present for your friends and family in the Dell Holiday Gift Guide. I mentioned that stores are crowded on Black Friday. This email from Sports Authority focuses on easy in-store pickup. It encourages people to shop online, but pick up their orders at the local store. There's a big emphasis on skip the lines, and you know that those stores will be crowded. So those people that took advantage of this particular offer can go right to customer service and have their items waiting for them. And plus, they get the immediacy of getting the particular gift that they were looking for and not paying any shipping. This tactic might not work for all, but gift reminders can be productive. I'd ordered an anniversary gift in late December from a florist, and they sent me a gift reminder with an online voucher for $5 off my next order. Walter Knoll also used multi-channel marketing, and I received a postcard in the mail with a very similar offer at essentially the same time. In addition to gift-giving guides, showing gifts by price range can also be effective. I like this IKEA email. They're highlighting gift ideas under $20 and $50. I also liked more gifts for kids. I don't normally associate IKEA with fun items for kids, so I think that was a smart thing for them to focus on near the top of this particular email. Here's what I call a postcard email format in HTML Lite that presents over 40,000 JCPenney items that are on sale. Plus, there's free shipping on orders of $25 or more. And the promo code is SHOP25, which is very easy to remember. JCPenney also makes it easy to navigate right to the Department of Interest on the right-hand side of the email. So free shipping is one of the granddaddies of promotions to use in your arsenal. And this chart looks at the impact of a free shipping offer on improving transaction rates, and it's compared to emails that did not have such a special offer. You can see that there's a nice bump in ordering as a result. By the way, this particular chart doesn't focus just on the holiday season. It represents a broader look across the year. And discounts work well, too. This Landsend email offers 40% off any one item, and it's time-sensitive as the offer ends that particular day. At the bottom, they promote customer service with gift cards, gift boxing, their personal shopping service, and more. So it's just a nice way of emphasizing some of the other ways that individuals can interact with you. Sharing via email or by sharing to social can spread the word about your discounts, your offers, your gift guides, and more. When asked what type of email campaign received the most shares on a worldwide basis, promotions with a discount was the winner. So, by the way, this is worldwide, not just U.S. specific. And how should you present a discount? Do you present it as dollars off or as a percent? This is a test run by Evo. They sell wakeboards and other outside equipment. Both the subject line and the headline presented the two variations. And as you can see, they both had very similar opens and click-throughs, but for this particular company, $50 off generated much higher revenues and much higher conversions. My feeling is that if you've got price points that are, for example, $375, it's a little bit more brain power required to figure out what a 15% discount might be, whereas it's much easier to mentally do the subtraction and know that it's $325. So I think this is something that you could easily test and see what works best with your particular audience. And by the way, there are many other studies that also do show that dollars off works. I'm showing here that a Silverpop study showed that click-through rates were much higher for dollars off. So again, it's worthy of testing. A gift with purchase can also be a motivator. Here, L'Occitane tested a gift with purchase versus no gift with purchase. They offered a cherry blossom travel set, which was a $20 value, with any purchase of $25 or more. And the promo code was CHERRY8, which ties in nicely with the gift that they were giving away. As you can see, revenue per email was much higher with the gift with purchase offer. So it did spur activity. And here's an Office Depot gift with purchase offer. Near the bottom, they offer a free tin of butter cookies, which is basically a seasonal item, with purchase of two HP toners. I like the thank you card that's front and center that says, "We appreciate your business and wish you a wonderful year ahead." In addition, there's a $20 off any purchase of $100 or more at the top. And my only issue with that is the promo code is not easy to remember. Unlike some of the other promo codes we've looked at, it's a series of 8 or 9 numbers. So if you can, if you're using a promo code, try and make it memorable so that it'll be easy for that person while they're checking out to enter that code. And here's one more. I like the cute use of words on this in the subject line and in the email itself. Also, right under their logo, the Women's Apparel and Accessory Company has Holiday Central with gift cards, Santa Baby store deals, and a reminder to order by December 20th for delivery before Christmas. Coupons. Sears thinks that while one coupon is good, an e-coupon book is even better. Shoppers can save up to $3,000 in e-coupons if they become a rewards member. This Cyber Monday email also has lots of other things going for it. Free shipping on purchases of $99 or more with an easy promo code, REALJOY, in-store pickup, discounted items, and gifts by price category. So, and to me, this does not look that cluttered, and yet they were able to get a lot going in this particular email. Here's a barcoded coupon with an additional 15% off a purchase of $100 or more. If you have retail locations, a barcoded coupon makes a lot of sense in terms of also driving retail traffic. And speaking of driving traffic to a retail location, here's an email from Barnes & Noble that highlights the location nearest to me in the subject line, which is Norwalk, Connecticut. Also, the store itself is presented at the top of the email. The focus is definitely on driving people to the store. Now, this email doesn't look particularly Christmassy, with the exception of the gift boxes in the upper right. In the center, there are hand-picked toys and games, and at the bottom, there's an in-store coupon to take an extra 40% off one item. So here's a look at open rates, and then we'll look at click-through rates for coupon emails versus other mailings. So the first and third columns show coupon offers, and the second and fourth show non-coupon offers. So you can see that the open rates are better and the click-through rates are better. So what's not to like about that? Friends and family emails are used to help promotions go viral. The other thing I like about this email was very near the bottom. It says give with style. The area that says give with style, let me make that a little bit bigger for you. It's a tie-in with the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. If a subscriber donates a dollar or more before the end of the year, Nine West will send a 20% off coupon towards a purchase in January. And at the very end of this webinar, we're going to talk about the importance of January for catalogers and e-tailers in terms of marketing. So getting people to come back in January and buy is a good thing. Just looking very briefly at opens and clicks for friends and family versus regular emails, you can see that there's a nice bump in opens and clicks with this type of promotion. Buy one, get one offers can inspire multiple purposes. Moose Jaw is promoting buy anything and get half off a second item. In a way, you might think of that as also some type of a gift with purchase. Now, this particular company is known for their tongue-in-cheek approach, so while this is a bit bizarre, at the bottom, you can get your second Moose Jaw item for double the normal price. I certainly hope that this didn't confuse people, but I think that's what their audience comes to expect, something that's a little bit irreverent and edgy. Oh, and by the way, at the top, there's free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Draper and Damon's also has a buy one, get one offer. Buy any sale item and get another sale item for one penny. That's pretty good. The woman's apparel company is also promoting gift cards near the bottom of the email, and gift cards can be a great device for holiday purchasing. From time to time, it's nice to make your email subscribers feel special. Give them an offer just for them. In this case, Dell is giving email subscribers an additional 10% off. This is an offer that was not on their website. There's a special coupon code highlighted in the gray box at the bottom, although it's, again, a whole series of numbers, which is not as effective, at least in my mind. And I also do like the imagery in this email. You want to make sure to plan to communicate the date and time of the last chance to order. This philosophy email offers free expedited shipping, a $16.95 value, for orders of $85 or more through 12/21. I also liked the promo code Gingerbread. And at the bottom, there are gift categories. And at the bottom right, there's a promotion of gift cards. So all of that happening in those last few days. And here's another example of free rush delivery on any particular item. And here we've got a date and time, so noon Central Time. Neiman Marcus also chose a very good promo code. It's NM for Neiman Marcus, so NM quick, nice and easy. And you can still capitalize on last-minute gifts after your final delivery date cutoff with an e-card offer. Here's an example from Urban Outfitters. And I like the subject line of this Omaha Steaks email. It's perfect to capitalize on last-minute gift-giving. When I'm basically reading here on the slide, but when I think about holiday shopping, I don't necessarily think that Dunkin' Donuts comes top of mind, but here they've got a really nicely tailored holiday email, and they do a great job of taking advantage of the season, including ordering Dunkin' tree ornaments. Who would have thought of that? So here are some closing thoughts on other things to be aware of. First, we spoke a little bit about subject lines, and where possible throughout this presentation, I tried to include subject lines so that you could see what various marketers were doing. And here are some others that stood out in my inbox. I saw a few. If you look at the very first one, it's got on Dasher, on Dancer, on Procrastinator. I saw a few emails in my inbox that did address the procrastinators, and maybe that stood out for me since I'm a procrastinator myself. Been using, you know, like Kris Kringle, so we've got more Kringle, less jingle. I like faster than a speeding reindeer. All of that, those phrases are evocative and may help make your particular emails stand out in the inbox because, of course, your subject line is all about getting people to open your email. Animation in emails is interesting. It's eye candy that focuses attention. In this email, the call to action was animated, so just where you needed to click. Note that animation does not work in every email client. For example, it won't display in Outlook. So you need to make sure that the emails work even if the animation does not display. But it's an engagement technique. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the impact of social icons and social sharing. During a season when marketers are putting forth their best offers, it's important to capitalize on social sharing. And you should make sure to highlight any special offers on your social sites. And don't forget about New Year's. Catalogers know that right after Christmas is a perfect time to send direct mail because finally people have been focusing on others and now they finally want to focus on themselves and not others. So take advantage of this. Exploit that particular trend. Here's a themed email from Pottery Barn, breaking out the champagne to celebrate the New Year's. Note, by the way, this is also a reactivation email. I had not bought from the merchant in some time, and so I'm receiving a We've Missed You offer. I want you to draw your attention to the champagne bucket on the far left. It has my first initial engraved in that. Isn't that a very nice touch? I'm not sure how the marketer did that, but I thought that was pretty cool. And here's an email from lighting e-tailer Bellacor offering a New Year's clearance sale. So I hope I've given you a series of ideas to put in place to maximize this important season. Do remember, again, you want to go back and look at your results from 2011, and I'm sure there are wonderful things that you did that worked really well. So make sure that you're doing those again, and then try and introduce a few new promotions and a few new themes to see how you can improve those particular emails that did not work as well. So with that, I think it's time for questions.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much, Reggie. It's, as usual, some great examples. You covered a lot of ground, so we are starting to get some great questions in, so I'm going to kind of jump right in. Let's see. Earlier in the presentation, you were talking about ways to get subscribers to sort of interact with the brand. You did offer some examples, but maybe you could just sort of reiterate what are some great ways for subscribers to interact and maybe build upon what you had said.
Well, some of these may not relate directly to the holidays, mm-hmm. but I mentioned the importance of reviews, and
right.
So that to me is really almost a no-brainer. If possible, you want to put those in place on your website, and then once somebody has ordered, you want to be able to send them an email asking them to review the particular product. And by the way, typically you need to wait about 3 weeks because the individual has to have time to have actually received the product and then also put it to use. I saw one interesting technique from a gift retailer fairly recently because many times, particularly at the holiday season, you're going to have people ordering gifts for others. So when they sent the request for a review, there was a prominent notice within that particular email saying, oh, and if you ordered this for somebody else, please pass it on and have them create the review, which I thought was a great idea. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of focusing on the reviews area. Now's not the time, the holiday season, right. To do things like contests, but I've seen some wonderful contests run by various marketers that certainly is another way to get people engaged with your website. I still remember a promotion that Talbots did maybe a year and a half ago, and it was for your worst Valentine's gift ever. And people got to enter, I think, 50 to 100 words on their worst Valentine's gift. And by the way, if they did enter the contest, they also got a coupon for a discount off of their next purchase. And first of all, it made the site a lot of fun. I must have spent about a half an hour looking at some of the different comments and howling at some of the results. But it's also a way to get people closer to your brand and really feel that affinity with the brand itself.
Right. That's great. I just wanted to remind the folks that please continue to ask questions. We do have a bit more time here, so Reggie's happy to help, happy to answer any questions. Let's see. What about we haven't really talked at all too much about responsive design, i.e., design for the Android or for iPhones. Do you have any kind of techniques there or best practices? I know you've done some stuff for us before on designing for these kinds of apps. Designing email apps for these kinds of machines.
Yeah, let me make a couple points. And first of all, I guess I should say that the iPhone and the iPad basically are perfect in terms of rendering emails. So that's not your issue. But BlackBerry, some Androids, will butcher your email, so there's a problem there. One of the first things that I would do is left justify your emails in the inbox. I've seen plenty of examples, and you'll notice that many of the emails that you do receive are centered in the inbox. So it's kind of pretty, and you've got, you know, white space or perhaps a background color on either side. But do realize that if there is a display issue, what your viewers are going to see is a lot of that blank space on the side as opposed to the beginning of your message. So to me, it's extremely important now to think about left justifying. Hmm. I also, you need to worry about the width, and I would generally keep it to no more than 550 pixels, again, so that it's a good display. Because on some devices, there may be a problem with whatever is on the right-hand side of your email. What you need to make sure is that any important headlines and offers and text and buttons are essentially organized towards the left-hand side of the email itself, so that even if there is a display problem, they're likely to be able to see, you know, those primary calls to action that you're putting in your email. And so what I've seen now is a lot of marketers are putting images towards the right-hand side and headlines and supporting text and buttons on the left-hand side. So those are some quick tips. I think I also mentioned when we looked at that one mobile example,
right,
because I didn't want to spend too much time on mobile, but they use a marketing snippet at the top, which is simply usually it's a restatement of the subject line, but you have a little more room to romance your offer a little bit further. And then link on link to mobile and view on a web page. So there you have it.
Yep, great. Little mini mobile session there.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something I lost back when you were talking about interaction with subscribers and reviews. You mentioned that, you know, the holidays is not a good time to do promotions. I thought that was interesting. I mean, what is that? Is that sort of like an industry secret or something? Or what is it about this time of year, that the holidays, that would – prohibit you from doing something like that?
And I was talking about, in particular, contests.
Where
you're getting people to, you know, post pictures and or make comments. Well, I think it's all about, this is, again, a make it or break it season. And while it's nice to create that influence and that relationship with the brand, if you don't eke out every single penny of sales that you can make, and hopefully it's not pennies, it's dollars and dollars, then you're missing out on an opportunity. I remember, this is not to do with promotions itself, but or contests itself, but I remember one major cataloger was doing such a great job with their emails that they decided that they'd cut back during the holiday season on some of their catalog drops. And, you know, there really is synergy between the email channel and the direct mail channel, and they just barely made their numbers. So do keep also in mind that if you're a multi-channel merchant, make sure that you're using those multiple channels.
Good advice there, too, yeah. A lot of our listeners are probably multi-channel. Okay, this question talks a little bit about B2B, and I know B2B is not traditionally thought of as a holiday, you know, issue, but, I mean, I do think that there is some B2B selling going on in the holidays. I don't know, you know, I'm not sure, like, you know, gifts to businesses, or I'm not sure about that, but maybe you can comment on that first, and then also, you know, frequency. There's a question here about frequency change from B2C to B2B.
Okay.
What's your advice on that?
I think there are some gift-giving opportunities in B2B. Many vendors do want to recognize their clients, and, you know, it may be a perfect opportunity to promote various incentives or different products that would be appropriate for that time of year. So I think that's one thing that can be done. And also, this is just as I mentioned, catalogers really start kicking into gear in January or even right after Christmas in terms of sending direct mail. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing is true for B2B. You know, January, February, those are big B2B marketing cycles. And so being able to capitalize on that in advance, because, you know, people are planning in advance. So depending on what your product or service is, it might be very appropriate to not necessarily dress up the email with all kinds of sprigs of holly, but really take advantage of that pre-planning season that's going on. And then you asked about frequency.
Yeah.
First of all, I guess one thing I didn't address in terms of frequency, and I'm starting with consumer, is, well, how often is, you know, stepping up your frequency? I liked what Zappos did, which was just step it up to 3 times a week. But I know many other marketers will, during the holiday season, particularly in the month of December, they will be mailing almost every day. Just, again, realize that it's a calculated risk. But at least you're taking advantage of the season. And you never know what particular day an individual is going to be starting to think about, oh, well, I still have other people on my list. What am I going to do about it? In terms of B2B, typically, and I don't know if there's such a thing as typically, but B2B marketers don't tend to mail as frequently as consumer marketers. So if you're thinking about stepping up frequency, I would say, depending on how often you currently mail, if you're 1 time a week, I'd step it up to 2 or possibly 3 if you think, you know, your promotions and your offers are really tailored to that pre-planning that we talked about, but no more than 3, and 2 might be even a better situation.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, that's kind of a tricky one with frequency. You don't want to overdo it, but you also want to make sure to get your message out. So.
Yeah.
And please continue to ask questions, guys. This is all great information. So you got a great expert here to answer any of your questions. Let's see. One of the listeners wanted to know about videos, you know, sort of in general, but I think it would be appropriate to get your feeling on videos, like in emails here. Is that what's your take on it? Do you believe in having the video directly in the email or linking to the video from the email, that kind of thing?
Okay. I think, you know, we all know that videos are hot, and so many marketers today have YouTube channels. They've got video on their website, and if they've got video on their website, it's you'll see that it's often one of the most viewed areas. So I think they're critically important. It is very difficult, and I won't say it's impossible, but with most email clients, it is not a good idea to embed a video directly in an email, meaning that it plays directly in the email. As I said, there are a few capabilities that offer this, but it's very complex, and it won't work all the time, just like animations won't work all the time. So what you want to do is take an important screen from your video. I like the idea of overlaying the little, you know, play button so that people can immediately understand that this will be playable. And, of course, when they click on that, they're linking through to the website where the video then would start to play. And in addition to even just putting that little play button, I'd do something else, either in a headline or in supporting copy, to, again, mention that it's video, just in case they did not see. You know, sometimes the screen gets a little cluttered, so you want to make sure that they can see the play button.
Okay, great. And do you have any, you did mention YouTube. I mean, do you have any feelings on YouTube versus not YouTube versus just directing you to the site?
I think it depends on how robust your YouTube channel is. One example might be Home Depot. Home Depot has, I'm not sure that I counted, but let's just say that they've got at least 20 how-to videos. So in that case, I think it's a great idea to direct them right to the YouTube channel so that if I'm not, you know, if I'm interested in one, I may also be interested in some of their other videos. If you don't have as many, I think it should be directing people to your website. And by the way, in most instances, a video should not be terribly long. And by that, I mean it should probably be about 30 to 45 seconds. And that's enough to captivate and engage your viewers, particularly from an email.
Great. Okay, this is an interesting question. Do emails with multiple products, in your opinion, do better than single products or single offers? I know you had a variety of examples where you had multiple products. I don't know. Maybe okay, you answer it.
Well, I think it's a good idea to mix things up. I think that's probably the most important takeaway. For example, we looked at that one example from Orbis where they were focusing on men's products. And, you know, if you think about the typical Orbis customer, most of them probably are men, at least, you know, the majority. But I like the idea that they also focused on other categories. They just didn't give it the primacy that the men's offer did. So the same thing with showing multiple products. You never know what's going to really resonate with your audience. And so showing a variety of your top picks in various categories, I think, can be very, very successful in terms of making people aware that the product is available and getting them to shop the website for even more products in a particular area. So I think you want a very postcard-type approach. For example, the JCPenney 40,000 different items on sale with the multi-product emails. And if you think back, let me see if I can pull it up again for a second. Just bear with me.
We still have about 5 minutes, guys, so if you have any other questions, please send them.
I'm trying to find the the Experian email. Here we go. So if you look at this, multi-offers are certainly one of the items on their promotional list here. And then tiered offers, we looked at a few examples of tiered offers. So make sure to add all of these to your marketing arsenal.
Great. This is a question in general about email width. And I know you already addressed this when you were talking about mobile design, but what about in general? If you're just doing a straight old email, is there a particular width that it should be? Or should you, I guess another question is, should we, you know, should you be designing for mobile regardless?
I think you should be designing for mobile regardless. I'll give you an example that this has nothing to do with the holidays.
Right.
this is Consumer Reports, and their audience, at least in my estimation, tends to be much older.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think that they would not be as likely to view emails on a mobile device, and their tracking is showing that about one-third of all their emails are being viewed on a mobile device. So just think about that, an older audience. I know some examples of some marketers that are getting over 50% of their emails viewed on mobile. So it is a really important factor. And just going back to wake up, the width of an email.
Yes.
I mentioned no more than 550 pixels. And actually, there's a range here. If you want to be really, really, really mobile friendly, it might be about 485 pixels in width. But I know that as marketers, we want to put other things in our emails. So that's why I'm saying you can go up to about 550 pixels. And just think, about a year and a half ago, it was 720 pixels in width.
Wow.
So that's quite a change.
That's interesting. Wow. Okay, I think this will be the last question. So other than sending too much email, what can you sort of say what's one or two of the worst things you can do as an email marketer this holiday season?
Oh, that's a hard one. First of all, you certainly want to make it easy. And some of those promo codes that we looked at that were, you know, a series of eight or nine numbers, it's not, you know, once I click through the website, then I've got to think, well, what was that promo code? I got to go back and copy and paste it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to make sure that it's a streamlined experience for the gift buyer, I think is certainly important. I'd also look at your color palettes. There were actually a couple emails that I showed during this particular promotion that I thought, eek, I didn't really like the color palette that was used. I think one of the examples was, I think it was Charlotte Russe, and it was kind of a yellowish, it's kind of, if you're looking at the screen right now, the yellows and oranges that you used, just to me, those are not seasonal colors. Nor was the one of the last examples that I showed from Urban Outfitters. It was about gift cards, which I thought was a brilliant idea to do because, I can't order something in time, but I can certainly get an e-card and send it to that person on my list. But that was a weird-looking blue email. And, you know, if you looked at some of the other examples, I thought they were, you know, really in keeping with the season and using boxes with, you know, beautiful ribbons and using the reds and the greens. I think that it's just in keeping with the particular season.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. So I think with that, I think we're going to sort of close it up here. We have just a couple of more things to say. But first of all, I just wanted to thank Reggie Brady for a fantastic presentation, again, with some great examples. And I'm sure you gave our listeners some great tips to take back, or actually they don't have to take them back because they're in their offices right now, but great tips for the holidays. But I also wanted to say that some of the questions that we didn't get to, Reggie would be happy to answer, so we'll send her those questions. However, she's going to be out for a couple weeks, but as soon as she gets back, she'll respond to them, no problem.
No, I'm only out for a couple days.
Oh, a couple days. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry. So you'll be hearing from her by next week.
Yes.
Sorry. And on behalf of Bronto Software, I want to thank, of course, all of our wonderful listeners for attending today's webinar and for being so astute and asking such great questions. And as mentioned at the beginning of our presentation today, as an added bonus for the webinar attendees, Bronto has recorded an additional 20-minute webinar to give you an extra leg up on your holiday planning, and you can access it via the link listed on the screen now. And if you don't have time to watch it, we'll also send you a link in our post-event follow-up tomorrow. And as always, be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And also, if you could just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen, that we would be really grateful because your feedback will influence the webinars we bring you in the future. So hope to see you all at the next Retail Online Integration webinar, and thanks so much.